All right. Then we should be good to go now. All right. Are we ready to go?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Hello, everyone, and welcome back once again to the Great Scott Podcast. I am joined by former Major League Baseball player, Mr. Randy Greer. How's it going, Randy?
Hey, great, man. Actually, 3 years in the Phillies organization. I tell my grandsons at one time I was one of the top 4,000 baseball players in the world. But you have to be top 1,000. So almost got there.
Almost did. You were only 3,000 off, I guess.
Yeah, man. Stood there and watched as Pete Rose walked out of the clubhouse the first time. All us young guys were just staring. And our manager said, get back to work. He puts his pants on the same way you do. We went, yeah, but that's Pete Rose, man.
Now, since you bring up Pete Rose, and he was a former teammate of yours, do you think that he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame? Because there's been a lot of speculation whether or not he should be since he gambled on baseball.
Yeah, but, you know, he never gambled against himself. Yeah. He always bet on himself to win. He's just, you know, it's kind of the way he was raised. I'm very biased. You know, if Shohei Ohtani gets to keep playing, then I think Pete ought to go into the Hall. So.
Yeah, he didn't even do steroids either.
Right. He was a solid. Oh man, what a player!
I know.
He's one of the greatest of all time.
I remember there was one All-Star game. I forget what year it was. I'm a huge baseball guy like you, and there was one All-Star game where I think he scored the winning run, and he knocked the catcher over, and
broke his arm.
Yeah, broke his arm. Yeah.
That's how Pete played. Just. All out, balls of the wall. So.
Every single game, yeah. And so I know that there's another person, before we get into all of your other teammates, that I would love to talk to you about, but there's another person who also tried out for the Phillies organization, and he may be a little bit before you, but Bert Convy?
No, I don't remember Bert.
Don't remember? Yeah. Okay. I think he tried out for the Phillies organization, but anyways, he might have been before you, but anyways, going on to your teammates, because you were the 18th overall draft pick for the Philadelphia Phillies, and you came out of a school in Southern California.
Right. And, Vanguard University. It's in Costa Mesa. And small school, but we played good baseball.
And you grew up playing baseball, too, even when you were younger. You played in the Babe Ruth League. Did you do Pop Warner?
No, it was like Babe Ruth and American Legion and high school ball and then college ball. So,
and
my actual claim to fame, Michael, is my first year they sent us up to Montana, and so this young kid, he got drafted in the 20th round, and he was walking to the park, and I had a car, and so I go, hey Rhino, you want to ride? So I took Ryan Sandberg to the park every day. And now he's in the Hall of Fame.
I know. And he's not doing so well physically, though.
Oh, really? I didn't hear that.
Yeah, I was looking at Ferguson Jenkins has a Facebook, and he's been updating everyone on Ryan's condition. But he's doing much better. But anyways.
Oh, good.
So
he was a great, great ball player.
Absolutely. You know,
softest hands I ever saw. Never saw him miss a ground ball, fielding it. Yeah. And then, you know, once the Phillies kind of taught him how to hit and hit with power, it was over. So, but you know what happened with all that? Dallas Green became the manager in 1980 when the year that the Phillies won it all.
I know.
And then the next year,
my Royals.
Well, the next year they got him to be the general manager for the Cubs. And so he took nine of my guys I played with, Bob Dernier and, you know, Sandberg and those guys, and took them over to the Cubs. So that's kind of the story. We called them Phillies West.
Now, you had quite the team before all those players got and actually, Bob Dernier lives here in Kansas City.
Yeah. Bobby D, he was my roommate in spring training.
Oh, gotcha.
So,
he's always great, at some event here in Kansas City when baseball or some autograph signing. I see Bob, and he's a great guy. Bob's a great guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. But
how's he doing with his broadcasting career. I know he kept trying to get into broadcasting.
Oh, did he? Oh, okay.
Did he? You don't hear him. If you don't hear him much, then I guess he's not doing so good.
No, I don't think so. No. But you were on the 1978 Phillies, and you had such great Hall of Fame baseball players like Mike Schmidt. You had you had Steve Carlton, who's the pitcher of the year that year, pretty much. And so what was it like to be Greg around? Lezinski.
Yeah, it was great. They were, you know, I basically got to know those guys standing around the outfield shagging baseballs in spring training. And I really admired how great those guys really were in playing the game of baseball.
Those were like the hardest working people that you would find on the baseball field. Carlton, I mean, Bob Boone, who was a Kansas City Royal later on.
Yeah.
Mike Schmidt, the greatest third baseman that ever probably lived next to Brooks Robinson.
It was a all-star cast, that's for sure. Those guys were great. Really great.
So
you brought Pete in and won it all. 1980.
And Tug McGraw, Tim McGraw's dad, 1980.
Yeah. He was a character. Oh, man. Yeah.
Did Tug play music as well?
No, not really, but just, you know, a good old boy and a prankster galore. And, he was a good guy.
Now, did you get to hang out with these guys outside of baseball very much?
No, not very much. You know, again, I was like just under them, but I played against them in spring training.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, but they were great. They were awesome.
I guess that you probably don't see them very much or talk to them much anymore then.
You know, the big thing, you know, Michael, just to be completely honest, I should go get it. I've got so those guys have Topps bubblegum cards.
Yes.
I have a Burger King card.
Oh.
So, from the minor league town that I was playing in, Burger King, they sponsored us. And listen to this. 10 times now, I've gotten a letter in the mail from a Phillies fan club member, and it's just hilarious. My wife now says she's my president of my fan club. And so these guys, all they want is that they show me how to sign the card, and it's just a big deal, like the fan club, to get the minor league players involved. So, just that's about it for me. My claim to fame.
Do you ever miss playing the game of baseball at all? Do you miss or wish?
I do.
Yeah,
I do. When I quit playing, it was really hard. You know, it was hard to stop, and it was about 7 years before I could even touch a hardball.
Mm.
But then I got invited back to my alumni game, and the first time up, I hit a home run, and man, the juices were flowing. So I went and found, I lived in LA, and I found this Mexican league. It's like this semi-pro league, and I played, oh man, I had the most fun ever playing in that little Mexican league. And we were in Bell, Cudahy, Southgate, you know, playing all over Southern California. That was a blast.
Okay.
Enjoyed
it. To Mexico to play? Yeah.
Yeah, so really, really fun. Oh, Julio Franco.
Oh yes, Julio Franco, sure.
He's still playing.
Yeah.
He's like a player manager in Japan or something crazy. And he's like mid-60s now, you know, it's like unbelievable.
I was just discussing with someone earlier this morning, Randy, that overseas produced some of the best baseball players you've ever seen, like Cuba and Puerto Rico and all those.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they.
Dominican Republic just had tons of kids. Okay. You know, they'd sign them when they were 16 years old just to have them in the organization. And, you know, George Bell. You remember George Bell?
Yeah. Angry George Bell.
Played with him, Jorge, you know, he came from the Dominican. And, you know, that the Phillies didn't protect him on the 40-man roster.
Mm.
And that's how Toronto built their whole team, grabbing these guys that weren't protected. And so they brought him to Toronto, and he had a great career. Yeah, he was.
Absolutely, I'll say. Yeah. So let's talk about what you're up to now these days. You run something called the Trinity Life Center, and one of your constituents that you have is Susan Stafford from Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah, isn't that something? The first one to turn those letters.
I know. And now Pat's gone, and her old, she used to work with Pat Sajak, and now he's gone too. So.
Yeah.
So
she's an interesting lady.
Oh, she's a great lady, absolutely. And so tell us a little bit about the Trinity Life Center, what you guys do, because I know that you have a hospital, a school, and all in a, it's a non-for-profit school pretty much, but I'll let you tell us more about it.
Yeah, thanks, bud. The what we're doing, it's all based out of a local church, but and that's the Trinity part. But on the campus, we're in downtown Las Vegas, and it's a very challenged neighborhood, underserved is what we call it. And so, you know, we got people that we feed about 600 families a week. Mm. And, you know, they're most of them have jobs, but they're underemployed. Mm. And they just aren't making it, you know. Yeah. And so the food we give them helps with their budget. And then we can help them. We've got this program on the campus where you can be certified. So, like, certified to drive a forklift, certified to handle traffic control, just all kinds of things like that. And so, you know, they come to the food bank, and then they find out that they can get a job, a better, you know, better paying job. And then, so that's essentially what we're doing. We're just looking at the community and how can we serve, how can we help. So man, started an after school program for inner city kids, and that's really where it all started. And then you know, just little by little, we've just looked around. And I tell you an interesting story. My associate, he's the executive director, Vic Caruso, he was at City Hall here in Las Vegas, and he came out of a meeting, and the HUD people said, "Hey, Vic, come here. We know all about City Impact Center. We know what you guys are trying to do, and we got a project that's perfect for you." So they told him, "It'll take you 3 years, and we're going to train you how to come to a meeting, and there'll be 50 other organizations trying to get this money, but we have the money, and we want to build a low-income senior housing, 68 units of low-income." So Vic goes to this meeting, and first time gets the money.
Wow.
And I said, he came back, I said, "What, Vic, are you kidding me?" I said, "You're like a chihuahua that chased an 18-wheeler and caught it, you know. What are you going to do now?" But anyway, it worked out great, and we built that right on our property, and it's servicing. You know what, Michael, we could build five more. Wow. We've got that many people on the waiting list, because the HUD told us that's the number one need in Las Vegas, low income senior housing.
Wow. So did Susan help you build all this? Oh, by the way, she said she had a baseball card of you as well.
Yeah. She has been very instrumental in bringing people to the table that can help us fund it.
Yeah.
And she's great at that, you know, because she's so juiced. Man, she knows everybody.
She pretty much does. Yeah, well, that's one thing I've noticed ever since interviewing her. She's always with some influential person, or she's on a plane somewhere, and she never stays. Yeah. She never stays in one place, Randy.
Yeah, Trump was just here in Vegas, and I think he just came to meet with her.
Yeah, I think so too. That was my guess too. Once I saw that, I thought, "Oh no, she's meeting with Trump." All right.
Absolutely.
So, well, I have to tell you, Randy, my dad is also a pastor. He teaches jail, oh, cool, or did until COVID hit, for about 30 years, teaching jail, wow, and the Bible. And the list of names he led to God, just, I think he needed like three Bibles.
Man, that's fantastic, Michael. So glad to hear that. Love to meet him.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's still living?
Yeah, he's still living. Yep. Unfortunately, like I said, COVID killed pretty much that ministry. So yeah. No one's allowed into the jails now. But did that with a ministry partner for about 25, 26 of those years. And then
you do that in Kansas City there?
Yes, sir. Yep. In Kansas City.
That's fantastic. With
about three or four different jails. And so kind of broke his heart that he didn't, that it now has to stop. But anyway,
they're allowing us back in here in Vegas.
Oh, are they? Okay.
Yeah. So got over
the whole COVID thing,
social distance thing, you know?
Yeah. There we go. Yeah. Well, anyways, well, Randy, thank you so much for coming on the program, sir.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate you having me.
Absolutely. I'm glad we got the whole technical thing figured out finally.
We were doing it on mute for a while.
I know. So. I know. Yeah. Doing it like a Harpo Marx and Teller kind of interview.
Exactly.
Well, thank you, Andy.
Hey, thank you so much, Mike.
God bless you, sir. Thank you.
You too. Take care. Bye-bye.